We're going to be looking at Christian growth. We've been in the middle of a series on the basics of the Christian life. And I hope you don't mind me re-hitting the highlights because it helps me stay on track. And I think it's good for us to be reminded. We started by looking at salvation, that we're part of God's plan to redeem this world. It's just an incredible thing. And right after that, we looked at two other things, two ways we can hear from God. We looked at prayer, which is talking to and listening to God, a way to hear from God. And if you remember that service, I blabbered on for a long time, and then I said, you know what, you can forget all of that if you just pray. All that stuff and all that theory is great, but just please pray. And then last week we looked at the Bible, what it is, and again, a bunch of stuff. I gave you lots of information. We went through a bunch of things, and then at the end I'm like, yeah, you can forget it all if you just read it. Forget everything I said, just open it up and read it. That's the point. Because through reading His Word and through praying, we hear from Him what He wants us to do with our lives. I mean, we don't always hear audible voices, the sky opening up and Monty Python-esque faces in the clouds with... But we hear Him. Nonetheless, we hear Him in our hearts. We hear Him as we read. And the more you pay attention, the more you hear God. So this morning, we're following the natural progression, and we're going to look at spiritual growth, what it means to grow up as a Christian. And instead of following the same pattern and giving you a whole bunch of details and then saying, here's the point, I'm just going to say, here's the point. If you want to grow up as a Christian... There's no secret, there's no special three keys to spiritual success. All you have to do is obey God. If you obey God, you'll grow. If you don't obey God, you won't. That's it. That's my main point. I was going to build up to it for a long time and then say it, but I thought, you know what, we're having a baptism, I'll just hit it off the top. If you want to grow up as a Christian, if you want to be able to hear God clearer in your life, you need to do the things you know He's telling you to do. Noah's probably the best example of this from Scripture. You think of your Sunday school stories about Noah, right? The thing he was asked to do just seemed absurd. But many of us write it off as saying, well, you know, that was a more superstitious time. You know, it was something they could get away with it. We couldn't do it today. Has anyone seen Evan Almighty?
Yes.
Okay, I got a little clip to show you. Can you imagine trying to explain to your wife that God called you to build a huge boat? Anyways, that puts it in perspective for me. I wanted to read to you the original from Genesis 6. Sorry, I wanted to start at verse 11. Here we go. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. The earth was full of violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, that all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. So God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you're to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, its width is 50 cubits, its height is 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark, finish it to a cubit above. Put the door on the ark side. Make a lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I'm going to bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you, and every living thing, all flesh. You will bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you, the male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, of the animals according to their kinds, everything that creeps on the ground according to their kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every kind of food that is eaten and store it up and serve it as food for you and for them. Okay, now just before I read the last verse, if God says that to you, what would your reaction be? What are my neighbors going to think? I can't do that. Are you kidding me? What? What would your reaction be? How would you act if God told you something that incredible? Here's what Noah does. Noah did this. He did all that God told him. That's it. No complaining, no, uh-oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to tell Mrs. Noah? None of that. Just, he did it, all of it. Do we know her name? I don't know if we know her name. He just does it. And he is saved. It's the simple pattern. It's the same pattern for us. If we want to grow in this life, we just do what God's asked us to do. And we grow up. There's another story in Genesis, and I wanted to read a bit of it to you as well. Genesis 22. It's known as the binding. And just to give you some background here, you've probably heard this story as well, but I just wanted to remind you some of the key points. God told Abraham that he would make him a huge family. Like a family so big that you can't, if you could count the number of grains of sand on the seashore, then you might be able to count the number of kids that you were going to have and your children after you. If you can count the stars in the sky, you might be able to tell. Like, gave him a huge promise. And then Abraham got older and older and older and didn't have any kids. And he must have thought, well, what's the deal, God? What's happening? You promised me this. It's not happening. So he decides to take matters into his own hands. Or his wife does. His wife says, listen, we got to give God a hand. This is my paraphrase. Sleep with my servant and we'll call her kid ours. And we'll have kids that way. You got it. Just do it. And Abram gave in, said, okay, all right. They had a kid named Ishmael. The kid grew up, and it was a source of never-ending stress in the family, because you can just imagine what the family dynamics would be between Ishmael's mom and Abraham's wife. There were lots of fights. You can read about them in Genesis. It was a horrible time. But then finally, God said, that's not what I told you. I told you I would make your seed multiply. And so in his old age and in Sarah's old age, God gave them another son. And they named that son Isaac. This was the son of promise. This was the son through his kids and his kids' kids and kids and kids and so on. They were going to be more numerous than the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. All of Abraham's hopes and dreams were on this one kid, Isaac. And then in Genesis 22:1, God tested Abraham. He said, Abraham! And Abraham said, here I am. God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I'll show you. What would you do? You can't answer that in a short time. I know that. But just think about it. If God told you to do something like that, what does Abraham do? He got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son, cut wood for the offering, and went to the place where God was going to show him. He went and obeyed. Now, as you know, as the story plays out, God doesn't take joy in the murder of kids. It was a test on Abraham's faith, and when Abraham was about to honor God and go through with the act, they found a ram caught in the thicket, and the angel of the Lord said, stop, don't hurt your son. And here's what he says next, 15. The angel of the Lord said to Abraham a second time from heaven, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this, and not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you. I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars in heaven and the sand of the seashore. And your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies. And by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice. Those are just two examples, and they're both from Genesis. When I started thinking about examples to use and share with you this morning, I could have picked any story in the Bible, because when it comes down to it, the spiritual growth of every person in the Bible and every person today comes to a point where we have to say, okay, God, I'll do what you said, or okay, God, I'm not going to do what you said. There's a way of growth, and there's a way of staying in the same place. Those were two really huge examples. I mean, a flood that will wipe out the whole earth and sacrifice your own son. But what about the little things for us? What about the smaller things when you've been praying and then pausing after your prayer to kind of hear what God says to you, and you get that little nudge to do something that you know you should? You know, it wouldn't be too much of an effort, but it would be just a little bit uncomfortable for you. Do you do it, or do you say, it's probably the pizza I ate giving me indigestion?
Do we obey God in the little things when we read the Bible and it says, love your enemies, do good to those who hurt you? Do we do that? Do we obey God in the little day-to-day things? If you want to grow up as a believer, that's what it takes. And that's all it takes. It's not a big secret. It's not a big mystery. It's just do what he tells you and you grow up. You get to hear him better. You get to know his voice more. You're entrusted with more responsibility, spiritual responsibility, as you grow in him, as you obey him. So,
yeah. Like I said, I gave you the main point at the beginning instead of the end, but that's it. Obey God. And now, I couldn't have planned a better end to this service than sending off the Ukraine trip and praying for those who are going to be baptized, because what better way to illustrate obedience?